Hello, hey, bonjour, I'm Gwen Lafage, and this is B2B Marketing Fika, a series of casual interviews with B2B marketers in Europe. Real stories, real tips from the people who are actually doing the real work on the ground. Let's grab a coffee and a bully, and let's get started. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the B2B Marketing Fika. Today, my guest is Anna Olios-Matson. She is the Director of Brands and Comms at Quinyx. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you so much, Gwen. Nice to be here.
Nice to meet you. So Quinyx is a leading workforce management software, right?
Yes, exactly. We do scheduling more fun and less complex.
Okay, nice. I like it, especially, I guess, with everybody working remote. It's important to take care of the workforce and how we work remotely, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really interested in to learn about, of course, like your job and some of the different steps that you had since you started at Quinyx. And from what I understood, you launched like a new brand, or at least a new look and feel, about a year ago. What changed at that time? Was it mostly like the visual identity, or did you have like a whole repositioning of the brand as well?
Well, actually, I was hired to start the brand and communications team. And we started off with having a really good brand platform, and they wanted to implement it, but they felt like they were not really there. They had a really nice culture, a good brand platform, good brand positioning and everything. So it was basically the layer of a really nice brand, a really nice design that was missing. So my first assignment or project, very big project, was to actually just try to invent this new brand. So that was quite a tough start, but a very, very fun project. And I loved challenging projects, and I've been working many years in business to business and tech. So I know the challenges and all the, all the touch points you have, the product, and how the brand is connected to the culture and everything. So,
yeah, it looks like, I mean, looking at your, your profile and what you've done before, it looks like you've been through exercise, if we can call them an exercise like this, before, of like rebranding a company. I think I've seen that you've done it for several tech companies like Reptel or Sinch, and so a few kind of known B2B tech companies in Sweden. Do you find that it's like almost the same process every time, and that the challenges are kind of the same, or is it different from one company to another?
Well, I would say it's very different where you are in the company. Some companies are really ready to do this. They already know from the board or the CEO, they already know that we have everything else in place. We have a good sales organization. We do inbound marketing. We get leads. What we miss is the kind of the layer of a brand, of a really strong brand that tells everyone who we are and so show our personality. So it once I developed a totally new brand, which was a really nice experience, but that was quite different from taking an old brand and update it. And the fun thing is that often also the company thinks that, oh, we just need this, so we just need to look a little bit better, or we just need to tweak the logo. But then when you do that work and everything starts to look so beautiful, and it all comes together, new colors, you kind of want it all. You want to have like new logo, new imagery, new website, everything.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to just change a little part of it, right? It needs to be to kind of all work together. What do you think is like the most difficult part of like the biggest challenge when you go through that change or that rebrand or brand refresh?
I mean, the biggest challenge always is that a brand is always already in the company. So it's everyone has already feelings for the company and for the name, and they might be different views on. Some say, oh, this, our name is quite complex, Quinyx. It's like a Q, U, X is very complex. But then for me, I said, I don't think the name is the problem. I think it's how we display it. So if we can display it in a simpler way and try to find this balance between kind of the design being a little bit more more simplified and not too complex, and the name can be complex. So it's more about what you fill the name with. So that's different challenges in different companies and what they want.
Yeah. What would you say is like the most crucial thing to get right when you go through like a brand refresh?
I think it's often people have a feeling that they want something that you don't really know what it is. So I always think it's best if you can land the brand in the values that you already have and just go into a company. That's why it's so efficient to go in and be an employee in the company and not come from an agency, because you are there, you feel the culture, you know people, you talk to people, you hear what they say. It's so easy to just go and ask someone, hey, this name, how did you come up with that? What's the story? So that all of that, those small stories that comes into the brand, makes it easy for you to find a new platform to work from. And also it's so important to know, how far do you want to go? Do you only want to kind of have a design update, or do you actually mean by, you know, pushing the brand to another positioning in the market? Who do you want to be? Do you really want to be the market leader and the disruptor, or do you want to be, you know, more of the traditional? Or I mean, it depends on who you want to be basically in the market brand wise.
Mm-hmm. And so you said like it's important to kind of be in the company when you do that work instead of with an agency. So when you did the work at Quinyx, and I guess maybe with other companies, did all the work was done in-house, or did you work with specific agency for specific part of it?
I don't necessarily think you have to do it in-house, because it's quite hard to do that. So we worked with an agency, of course, but it's good to have a point of person like me, for example, that worked with brands before, because then it's easier to land all these questions and get shorter decision ways. And then we also started to build a department, and we hired two designers at the same time that also was part of implementing the brand. But the timing was that we did the logo and the brand guidelines, the brand platform and everything, the visual identity, we made together with an agency.
Right. Okay. And together with your internal in-house designers, so that they are embedded in the process from the start and kind of own the brand, right? I definitely see the difficulty while coming from the agency side of like developing a brand for a company who doesn't have a brand person in place. It's a struggle for sure. Like someone, if you don't have anyone who understands what a brand is or should be, it makes the process definitely way more complicated than when you do, right? Than if someone that can lead it in-house.
Yeah, I know somewhere in the process, because it is all creative processes are so painful. We all know that we worked with the creative processes. It has to ache a little bit, and it will be so hard. You think that, oh, we can't see the way forward. This is not us. We can't feel anything for this. Which is our color? I mean, it's like, where is this? Where are we going to land this? But I compare it to not having a brand person, or I mean, it could be anyone in the company that is really just have a good feeling for what the company stands for and wants, and can take this up to the product team in a good way, in a short way. But you can't really, it's like having, you know, going into a store and someone just pick up some clothes for you and they don't even know your style. So that is kind of shortened. We just shortened the process probably with half the time.
Yeah. It's definitely, well, I guess when you touch creativity and design, it's always subjective in many ways, right? You always have people that say, well, I don't really like that color. And in a way, it's like, well, I don't really care, because who needs to like it? This may be your audience and not you, right? So I think it's like maybe having those discussion internally and being that guardian in-house kind of help power the process through, right? Otherwise, you get to a lot of I don't like, or like you said, I don't feel anything, which is like very, very subjective. Or I love the I don't feel the wow. I love that one too.
Is it grows on you? I know. Then when we find the right identity, it kind of grows on you, and you have to try it out in different settings and present it in different ways. And So it's just, I'm all about feeling in your stomach what's right. I totally, that is like my life. I live after that all the time. But sometimes it actually, I mean, for the, this is a process, it takes time. You have to like try it out like everything else.
Yeah. And you can't really please everybody, I feel like, at the beginning, especially. And maybe after a while, people get used to it. But because every time there is a change, people get against it at first, right? The first reaction, I will feel like most of the time is like, I don't really want to change. So it's like hard to please everybody when you do a rebrand.
Yeah. Was that a
question? No, it's just
I don't have the answer.
It's just a comment, I guess, like from what I've seen, that it's really hard to kind of please everybody. So now that you've implemented that change at Quinyx, and it's been about a year, what do you see, like any results? Or I get this question a lot from people, like, yeah, no, we understand it's important to have a strong brand, but how do you measure success? How would you measure success? And do you feel there has been a success of your rebrand at Quinyx?
Well, yeah, I think just the first week when I made the first presentation, I said we wanted to create a brand that everyone loves. And that felt like, oh, my God, this is like mission impossible in a business tech. This is not a really easy task. But after a while, when we launched it, that also back to the question before, when you launch it, you can do it in a really good way. You can kind of roll it out in a smart way. We show off the logo on like clothing, really nice images and everything. And we made a really good launch video, and people reacted well to that. And that's also because you don't just show logo. You show the full picture, the whole package. Like, this is the dream, kind of. This is the brand we built for us, and this is how we're going to look.
Did you release it all like in a big bang, like having the logo, the website, it kind of done at once, right?
Yeah. We made a big thing of it, out of it. We had a company meeting with everyone calling. We already have big like Zoom meetings, monthly meetings before the pandemic. So we managed to roll it out, and we had a small party in the office and just celebrated the new brand and made a big deal out of it. And that video was the most popular video in all channels last year.
Right. And would you say that, like, do you feel that it's been successful, that it had an impact maybe on some of the other marketing efforts? Do you see a before and after the brand?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't say that, oh, we get more visitors or anything. I mean, it's a multi-channel strategy. We can't say our leads, for example, they have so many touch points, but we can see the whole way where they come from. So I wouldn't say that the brand gives us more business. I mean, I can't show that. But for a fact, people react very well internally. They love the things we're doing. My goal is just to produce as much nice content as possible and templates for the organization, for example, presentations, templates, and provide images and everything, so they don't have to do the work. We do the work, and they can just take it and put it together, and it looks beautiful. So I think also the brand is not all about looking good. It needs to be like grounded in the values and feel that people really like that brand. And I think even some oldie goldies came afterwards and said, yeah, this is really good after a while. So when it lands and you get used to it. So mm-hmm. We feel that all the things we produce now and the things we do now live after the brand. And we updated the tonality, also the copy tonality earlier this year. So it's also about implementing the copy and the brand feeling in the copy. So that's the next big step for us.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And that's definitely an important part of the brand personality, right? It's not just the colors and the visual part. It's how you talk and how you push your message out. Okay. So not really like, not maybe very clear quantifiable results, but definitely a feeling that the brand that you've built is like more trustworthy, maybe, and liked by everybody.
Yeah. And we also had some comments from others that said, that our competitors now, when they do, they also do rebranding. I mean, that's what you do. You kind of reinvent yourself all the time in this digital world. So they, some of the brands start to look a little bit like ours. And that just gives us more energy to, okay, let's just take the next step so we can be even more disruptive or bold or just live our brand even more. So because the brand is basically the only thing you can't steal from a company. It's right. Our soul, our personality. I mean, yeah, you can try, but it will just be silly if they try to be Quinyx.
Yeah, exactly. And you run not only brand, I guess, but also comms, right, at Quinyx. And I guess those two parts of kind of working together. And so now that you have this kind of brand, what's important in your role? What are you focusing on?
Well, we focus a lot of streamline campaigns and content in English, of course, because, and then we translate it to the Nordic markets, and we also have offices in Germany and Holland. So we just try to do as much content and campaigns as possible, so the local marketing managers can adapt those to their tactics in their market. And we want to provide, you know, the right information, the right sales materials, and just as much as possible. And so we work constantly with marketing, local marketing managers to just produce the content needed.
So if maybe we talk a little bit about like the structure of the marketing team. So you talked about content and campaign. So is that under your responsibility? Like you have like the content team in your team, or how is it structured?
We have a global digital team taking care of all the kind of campaign and the website and all the lead generation and all the analytics, everything that how it is set up. And then we, our brand comm team, we're four people, and we are responsible of providing content to all those activities that's happening. So it's a constant collaboration between us and the local managers. What kind of campaigns do they want to do, and what campaigns can we do on a global basis that they can adapt to their market? We just launched a new webinar series. We realized we have so many webinars going on in the different markets. So now we just said, let's just do something together with different speakers from different markets, but all in English around our themes. And we came up with a name, call it the VFM show, because workforce management is, it's a industry wording we use. So the VFM show can be anything about happy employees or creating happy business
because you have the global digital marketing team, and then you have like local field marketing teams. How many markets is that, like where's Quinyx?
I think we are at 8 markets.
Okay.
We are 18 in the team now. We also have a product marketing team. Mm-hmm. Who just started doing more product marketing, which is vital for a company like us living on a digital product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, that's great to learn how things are structured. I realized by talking to a lot of different people that each marketing team is structured slightly differently. You believe this like a one a one way to do it, but there is not. They all kind of like structure slightly differently. So it's pretty interesting. So you feel like, how do you ensure that you will continue to build your brand over time, and that you kind of keep pushing that brand and keep making it stronger?
Yeah, I mean, consistency is very important. Of course, working with creative people, I mean, we always try new things and so on. But sometimes we also have to take a step back and look at, okay, what did we do? Does this hold together? Do people understand this? And how do we communicate this in a good way? So we set up guidelines, we roll them out, we educate the whole organization in branding and how we use the brand and how you can use the presentation template and so on. And for us as a team, we always see things to improve. That is so amazing. I mean, it's like it's the brand is like living its own life. It's like for every campaign we develop, for everything we do, we want to strive higher and do really better designs and better copy and cooler concepts that works and that people, I mean, ads that people click on. So it's a constant, just an alive, what do you call it? I don't know, asset. It lives its life. So we have a long, long list of things that we want to do.
And you, so you mentioned you have like designers in-house. And so do you create all of your campaigns in-house or do you still work with agencies to help out and bring extra creativity?
We work with some agencies for help on special, like specialties, like, you know, like social ads and so on. And the campaigns we run, but we produce all the content ourselves. And sometimes we just do the art direction and we have an agency producing. But most of the kind of the global campaign concepts we produce ourselves, which is also very challenging because you have to be the kind of, you order it, you write the brief, you write the debrief, and maybe, I mean, you're creating the things that you invented yourself. So it's not always like, you don't feel like an agency. It's very much an in-house production team. Mm-hmm. So that's our goal for this year, to try to work a little bit more professionally like an agency and do really good debriefs and make sure that people know how long time it takes to make a video, for example. And it's very easy to think, oh, we have an in-house team, you can do this and that, so on. But we also have amazing colleagues. I mean, they are the marketing managers are really good. They do their own guides. They take a template. They know some InDesign and they're really doing great designs themselves. So it's a really good collaboration. So the more we work together with that, the more we can get out, because two designers can't cater for 8 markets. It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty tricky to scale, right? I think that's the challenge we see. And actually, one of the reasons that that a lot of companies, when they start scaling up, bringing agencies, because they need to scale up their marketing efforts, and they realize that two designers, like you say, can't produce enough, because the need for content is like constantly growing.
Yeah. Yeah, and also if you only produce things and you don't kind of develop or you don't have time to be creative, then you kind of, I mean, it's kind of, it's not that fun for designers. Oh. No designer likes that. It's like maybe like putting you and me only doing Excel all day. So we would probably not like that either. So
definitely not.
Yeah. So it's all about inspiring. That's also another challenge with an in-house agency. I mean, you don't really have the setup as you do in an agency for like the creative process and the creative work. So that's something you need to develop as a team and together, and have these inspiring workshops where you actually just think big, and you don't, that's the backside of being in the company all the time. You know too much, you see all the details, you know everything. If I come up with this amazing idea, I have to make it myself, but will we have time to do it? So it's always a balance, but we try to do it on a monthly basis, have creative workshops, and just to put it, actually is a big difference in the inspiration and the creative work. We push ourselves and come up with so many new ideas, so we know the plan forward.
Yeah, that's fun. Maybe last question. We haven't talked a lot about like the comms part of your job, and I'm definitely interested in understanding a little bit more, like what are the things that you do and how do you work with comms and PR?
Well, we have a global PR function that goes out from the US, because the US is our main market right now. And we have a really, really good marketing director in the US who is good at PR. So she coordinates the PR for us, and we set the tonality and make sure we have the right agencies and the right copywriters in all the markets. So it's also, we also, I mean, I worked in communications for many years, so I also support with communications questions whenever needed. But right now, it's actually been a lot of focus, as you know, for companies today. It's content, content, content. We produce a lot of content, and then we do local PR initiatives. Mm-hmm. But they can also be based from a global initiative, but they all need to be localized.
Yeah, I like that, the content, content, content. I think it's like...
Yeah, actually this year we tried to do a little bit more quality content. Yep. So maybe I think we made like, I don't know if it was like 60 blog posts or something. And then we just realized that maybe we should just focus on the ones we know that drives traffic. And it's just finding the routine. Sometimes you're just into producing a lot of things and you don't really think about why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you have like is the content that you're producing is mostly focused on generating leads on like a lead gen approach, or mostly like getting people to you? Like, do you gate a lot of your content, or what is?
We do a lot of lead generation, and that's mainly what we see it works, and we see really good leads on that. So that as long as that works, I mean, we have two parts. It's building pipeline and lead generation, and then we have the awareness. So we focus quite a lot on the awareness phase, but it always ends up in some kind of download.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is kind of like at the heart of a lot of tech or B2B tech companies, I think, rely a lot on that tactics for sure. Great. Well, thank you so much. I think this was a really interesting chat. I think I could talk about brand like forever, but I think this was fantastic to get your perspective on the really nice Quinyx brand. So thanks again for talking to me, and I hope we'll get in touch again soon.
Yeah, same to you. See you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Skona, a full-service creative agency with offices in San Francisco and Stockholm, which transforms B2B companies into brave brands.